All right, let's unpack this for you today. We're diving into a concept that's guaranteed to spark some interesting conversations and maybe even a little personal reflection. Our source material for this deep dive is just an excerpt, actually, but it comes from an article provocatively titled Zodiac's Best Flirts, an astrological ranking. And it hits you immediately, doesn't it, with that central question, who's the best flirt in the zodiac? But it doesn't stop there. This article also promises, get this, the ultimate ranking. So, for this deep dive, just so you know, you won't actually get the ranking itself because, like I said, our source material only gives us the title and that very, very intriguing question. Instead, our mission here is to kind of peel back the layers of this idea, what it implies about us, and why a question like that is so incredibly captivating. We're going to explore the compelling premise behind such a bold claim.
It's a fantastic premise to dig into. I mean, what immediately stands out is how this framing taps into, well, a fundamental human impulse. We absolutely love to categorize, don't we? We thrive on understanding personality types. And there's this undeniable fascination with discovering who's the best at just about anything, especially when it touches on something as personal and dynamic as social interaction, like flirting. So, yeah, this deep dive will really dissect the conceptual framework of the article, exploring the powerful questions it naturally raises, rather than, trying to provide an answer that isn't in our sources. It's the idea here that's so rich for exploration.
And that takes us straight into the heart of it. Zodiac's best flirts. That word best, it's doing some serious heavy lifting, wouldn't you say? When you imagine a best flirt, what qualities leap to mind for you? Is it that undeniable magnetic charisma that just draws everyone in without even trying? Or perhaps it's an unparalleled wit, someone who can keep conversations sparkling, making you laugh and feel completely at ease. What about a more subtle, almost mysterious allure, a quiet confidence that leaves people intrigued, wanting to discover more? The very idea of a best flirt suggests there's a singular, perhaps universally agreed upon standard for what makes someone truly exceptional in this arena. But let's pause and consider. Does best actually mean the person who is most successful in, say, securing a date or making a romantic connection? Or is it the individual who is simply the most charming, the one who leaves everyone they interact with feeling fantastic, irrespective of the outcome? Or could best even refer to the most subtle flirt, the one whose charming interactions are so finely woven into their conversation that you barely realize you're being captivated until it's almost too late? It's a hugely subjective term, wouldn't you agree? And that's fascinating when an article claims to rank it.
Absolutely. The real insight here is how deeply subjective best truly is in social contexts. It's less about some objective metric and far more about an individual's personal projection of desired qualities. Flirting, by its nature, is an incredibly nuanced social art form, taking on myriad expressions. It can be overtly playful and direct, a bold compliment, a confident gaze, but it can also be incredibly indirect, expressed through a quiet observation, a lingering smile, or maybe a shared inside joke that subtly builds intimacy. It can stem from genuine self-assuredness, or it can even be an endearing display of shyness where the hesitation itself becomes part of the charm. So for an astrological ranking to declare a singular best flirt, it inherently suggests that a specific, perhaps generalized set of attributes are being prioritized above all others. These specific attributes aren't detailed in our brief source, obviously, but the very claim of best implies they exist and are somehow measurable. What the article calls best is ultimately a culturally and individually constructed ideal, isn't it? A mirror reflecting our own preferences and societal values around attraction.
And that's where I get really curious. You've outlined how subjective best is, but then the article tacks on an astrological ranking, and suddenly what was purely subjective gets framed as something almost, well, deterministic. How does this astrological lens fundamentally change how we think about the very nature of flirtation? When we see astrological, our minds immediately conjure the idea that our cosmic blueprint, determined by planetary alignments at birth, imbues us with specific innate traits, from temperament to communication style, even our social skills. So it implies our flirting prowess isn't something you cultivate or refine over time, but rather a predestined characteristic tied directly to your zodiac sign, like a sort of cosmic predisposition to charm.
Predisposition, that's a good word for it.
This shifts the entire conversation, doesn't it? It suggests that your ability to flirt isn't about learned social cues or personal growth, but about an intrinsic quality you were born with, dictated by the stars. It raises the question, what expectations does the word astrological create for you, the listener, about the underlying basis of this ranking? Are we supposed to be thinking about how Venus influences our relational style, or maybe Mars our drive and assertiveness, or Mercury our communication? It sets a very specific stage for how this best is supposedly derived, taking it out of the realm of pure human interaction and into the cosmos.
Exactly. What immediately stands out is that underlying assumption, the one you mentioned. The assumption that zodiac signs confer specific identifiable characteristics that would naturally translate into a particular style or aptitude for flirting. We often associate certain signs with being more outgoing, right, or more mysterious, or perhaps more intellectually engaging in their approach to attraction. The title explicitly tells us astrology is the chosen lens through which this very human, very social ability is measured and categorized. It's an assertion that our cosmic blueprint dictates our approach to attraction, almost like a personality shorthand.
Shorthand, yeah, yeah. I like that.
And then there's the ranking aspect itself. This isn't merely a list of flirtatious signs. It's presented as a hierarchy. This implies a direct comparison and an evaluative process based on these presumed astrological attributes. Some signs within this framework will inherently possess more of these best flirt qualities than others. It transforms a subjective and often intuitive social dynamic into something quantifiable and ordered. And, you know, this desire for order in something as fluid as human interaction is a powerful psychological draw for many. It promises an objective assessment of something we often feel is deeply personal, almost intuitive. It offers a kind of cosmic rationale for why some people just seem to have that effortless charm, while others might find it more challenging.
Okay, now, let's talk about the question itself, because the source isn't just presenting a concept. It's asking us directly, who's the best flirt in the zodiac? Why is this question so incredibly engaging? I mean, deep down, don't we all wonder where we land on that charm spectrum? We want that validation for our own perceived magnetism, maybe. Or maybe we're just trying to figure out the secret sauce of that one friend who effortlessly charms everyone they meet. It's almost a guilty pleasure to even think about it, isn't it?
Oh, totally. It pulls you right in.
And beyond ourselves, doesn't this question immediately make you think of your friends, your family members, or perhaps a past romantic encounter? You know, you instantly start playing the game. Oh, they must be a top flirt, or I wonder where my sign lands on this list. It taps into that universal human desire for self-knowledge and for understanding the dynamics of our relationships, even if it's through a playful astrological lens. It personalizes the entire discussion right from the very start, drawing you in whether you're a big believer in astrology or just curious about human behavior. It's truly irresistible.
This point speaks to a deep human psychological drive. Our innate desire for self-understanding and social insights. Our yearning to comprehend ourselves and others is incredibly powerful. And astrology provides a readily accessible, ancient, and often entertaining framework for exploring personality traits. The question, who's the best flirt in the zodiac, taps into both a deep personal curiosity like, where do I fit in, and a broader fascination with interpersonal dynamics. We are inherently social creatures, after all, constantly evaluating and being evaluated in social contexts, often subconsciously.
Right, it's always happening.
So when a framework like astrology offers a seemingly straightforward answer to something as complex and multifaceted as social appeal, it becomes highly attractive. We seek patterns and explanations, and this offers a narrative. We want to know where we stand or where our loved ones stand on such a scale because it provides a perceived shortcut to understanding individual strengths and weaknesses in the art of attraction. It offers a compelling framework for our social interactions, seemingly giving meaning to why certain people seem to effortlessly charm everyone around them while others might struggle. It's a way to categorize and make sense of the often unpredictable world of human connection.
And then there's that undeniably powerful phrase, the ultimate ranking. That's a pretty bold assertion, isn't it? It doesn't just promise a ranking, but the ultimate one. What does ultimate suggest about the scope, the authority, or maybe the finality of this astrological assessment of flirting abilities? It implies a comprehensive, definitive, and perhaps even undisputed evaluation. It's a statement that says, this is the final word, look no further. It's designed to stop you in your tracks and demand your attention.
It really is designed that way. Very effective.
Does that word ultimate make you trust it more? Thinking, oh, okay, this must be meticulously researched and widely accepted, a truly definitive statement. Or does it make you question it more, wondering how anything so subjective, so nuanced, could ever possibly have an ultimate answer? It sets an incredibly high bar for the content that would follow, asserting a level of certainty that is almost impossible to achieve in discussions of human behavior, especially one as fluid and personal as flirting. It's a masterclass, really, in captivating an audience with the promise of conclusive truth.
Broadening our perspective a bit, the word ultimate promises exactly that. A conclusive, authoritative answer in an area that is, by its very nature, incredibly subjective and context-dependent. In a world increasingly saturated with information, much of it ambiguous or contradictory, the idea of an ultimate ranking offers a comforting, almost alluring sense of clarity. It suggests that someone has done the exhaustive work, weighed all the variables, and arrived at a definitive conclusion, even for something as fluid and personal as flirting style and effectiveness. This taps into our deep-seated desire for certainty, doesn't it? For a singular truth in a complex world.
That makes a lot of sense. We do crave certainty.
And this psychological draw towards definitive answers, especially in subjective areas, is a powerful motivator. It appeals to our desire for simplicity and certainty, much like how we're drawn to top 10 lists or definitive guides. However, it also encourages critical thinking, or it should, about the very concept of ultimate in such a context. Can there truly be an ultimate standard for something so deeply intertwined with individual preferences, cultural nuances, and personal chemistry? The claim itself is designed not just to provide an answer, but maybe to spark a conversation about the very possibility of such a final word, challenging us to consider what ultimate truly means in this space.
So, what does this all mean when we put it together? Our deep dive today has been into the fascinating idea presented by that powerful source title, Zodiac's Best Flirts, an astrological ranking, and the captivating question it poses. Who's the best flirt in the Zodiac? We haven't explored the answers because, well, the source didn't give them to us. Instead, we've unpacked the implications embedded in those few provocative words, thinking about what best truly means in this context, how astrology claims to influence our flirtatious style, the irresistible pull of such a personal question, and the bold, almost audacious promise of an ultimate ranking. It's a powerful lesson, I think, in how language can shape our perceptions.
What's truly illuminating here, I agree, is how just a few words can spark such an expansive and insightful conversation about human nature, our persistent desire to categorize, and the many intricate ways we interpret and engage with complex social dynamics like flirting, especially through frameworks like astrology. It highlights the sheer power of a compelling premise, one that taps into our inherent curiosity about ourselves and our place within the social world. It makes us pause and truly think about the criteria we use to judge such things and why we're so drawn to definitive answers, even for the most subjective aspects of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Which leads me to a final thought for you to maybe ponder. Perhaps the truest deep dive isn't into who an article ranks as the best flirt, but into what makes you personally believe someone is a best flirt, regardless of their zodiac sign. It's all about perception, isn't it? And perhaps it's about what we ourselves value most in the delicate dance of human connection. Something to ponder the next time you encounter a charismatic soul.